Today we celebrate the feast of Mary as the Mother of God, the divine maternity of our Blessed Lady. This is an extraordinary mystery. It is something that was proclaimed by the Church back in the year 431 at the Council of Ephesus. And in pronouncing this dogma, dogma means an infallible teaching. In pronouncing this dogma, what the fathers of the council were trying to do was to draw attention to the fact that Jesus is God and he is man. He is fully God and he is fully man. He has a divine nature and he has a human nature. The heresies that were presented up to that point, some people thought he was just like one of us. Other people thought that he was God, but he wasn't really human. Maybe he just looked that way. Maybe he just put on a front. Maybe he, had a human body, but not a human soul. There were all kinds of things that were being presented. And so the fathers of the church got together to be able to look at this and be able to determine how they could make the point clear that from all eternity he is God, and because he is God from all eternity, he cannot change. But God took a human nature to himself, so he didn't change. He's a divine person. But he took a human nature to himself, which means he took a human body and he took a human soul. And as God had made clear many times in the Old Testament, that his son was going to be born of a woman. He could have done this any way he wanted, just like he created Adam and Eve as adults. He could have just dropped into the world as a 33-year-old, gone to the cross, and we'd be saved. That's not the way he chose to do it. Because God had decreed that his son would be born of a woman, that was a necessity. Not necessity because it had to be that way, but a necessity because God declared that it would be that way. Well, the people of Ephesus, when the church proclaimed this dogma, recognized something more than what the fathers of the church were recognizing. To be able to proclaim that Mary is the mother of God makes very, very clear that Jesus is God. The child to whom she gave birth is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity who took a human nature in his mother's womb. So the easiest way to be able to show to the world that he is truly God and that he is truly man was to proclaim Mary what they call in Greek the Theotokos, meaning the God-bearer, the one who carried God in her womb and gave birth. And so they were trying to show the true nature of Jesus, both God and man. But the people of Ephesus, as I said, recognized something more. In proclaiming that Mary was the mother of God, they recognized this as a huge privilege of our Blessed Lady, which is pretty obvious. But the fathers of the church were trying to teach us something about Jesus. The people of Ephesus recognized this said something even more about our Blessed Lady. And so they took to the streets and they had processions and they were chanting, Theotokos, Theotokos, the God-bearer, the God-bearer. They understood what this meant. Yes, Jesus is God and man. Mary is the mother of God. Now again, people, when we think about that, get confused and say, how can a woman give birth to God? What you have to remember again is that Jesus is God from all eternity. And so when he took a human nature in the womb of Our Lady, he was still God. That did not change. In fact, it cannot change. So he is a divine person. He's not a human person. That's what we have to understand. He is, because you can only be one person. There was another heresy that said he was both a divine person and a human person. The church condemned that. He'd be the perfect schizophrenic. Two people in one body. Can't happen. So he's only one person. He is a divine person. So he took a human nature, but he didn't become a human person. So he is fully human with a divine personality. Gets a little confusing. But the point is that for all of us, the day that we were conceived in the womb of our mothers, we began our life. Our parents provided the physical matter and God provided the soul. And at that moment, life began for us. Our being began. Our personhood began at that moment. That was not the case for our Lord. His human life began at that moment, but he is eternal. And so the divine person came into our Blessed Lady's womb. His life didn't begin at that moment. His personhood didn't begin at that moment, as ours does. Now, when a mother gives birth to a child, she gives birth to a person. Your mom didn't give birth to a human nature. She gave birth to a human person who has a human nature. Our Lady gave birth to a person. But the person is God. And so that's why we can proclaim her to be the Mother of God. Not because God began his life in her womb, because he didn't. But because he took a human nature in her womb, and when she bore her child, he is God. So when we hear the way that the Jewish people were to bless, the priests were to bless the people, that beautiful line, "The Lord let his face shine upon you." That's exactly what we see in our Lord Jesus. He is God. He has taken a form that we can see so that his face literally could shine upon us. By himself, God doesn't have a face. He doesn't have a body. God is pure spirit. But Jesus took a human nature, so he has a human body, which means he has a human face. So God's face literally now can shine upon us through the humanity of Christ. What an immense blessing. But it doesn't stop there. Because St. Paul, pointing all these things out, that God sent his son born of a woman born under the law to ransom those who were under the law. And so if you look in St. Luke's Gospel, for instance, in the second chapter, he goes way out of his way to make sure that we understand that Our Lady and St. Joseph did everything according to the dictates of the law. In fact, I think he says it three times. So it's in the presentation of our Lord when they bring him to the temple. And all of the points that are there are to make sure that we understand that all this was done according to the law of the Lord. So Jesus was born under the law. As we heard in the gospel reading, he was circumcised on the eighth day. The circumcision for the Jewish people was entrance into the covenant, which is again a rather fascinating thing. This is what is required according to the law. But Jesus is the covenant, not the old covenant. He's God who made the covenant with the Jewish people. And now, in his humanity, he is brought into the covenant, incorporated into the covenant. But for us, Jesus is the covenant. We are incorporated into him. On the day that we were baptized, we became members of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't make a covenant with us. Jesus is the covenant. That's the part we must understand. So all these things that were done to be able to show that everything was in obedience to God, even though Jesus is God. So why? Why did he do that? It wasn't because he needed to be incorporated into the covenant. Like I said, he was the one that the covenant was made with. He is God. The covenant is for the Jewish people. And then he's the new covenant for us. So he did this to save them. Just as he went through his baptism, which obviously he didn't need to be baptized, but he did that for us. So that's what we have going on. We have these two covenants that are taking place, but he is the covenant. And so now St. Paul says that we have received our adoption as sons and daughters of God. That's why we can call God Father. Do you ever think about that? We have become so accustomed to this because it's the way our Lord taught us to pray, to call God Father. And so we pray that every day, Our Father who art in heaven. Have you ever stopped to actually think about that? What does it really mean to call God your Father? And again, we have to even remember that what we even see in the reading today, they decided properly not to translate the word, Abba. So it says, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. But Abba isn't really Father. In English, the term Father is a much more formal term. Most of us, when we talk to our dads, we don't call him Father. He's our dad. Little children in Israel call their dads Abba. It's daddy. It is a relational term. It is a term of endearment. That's how close God has brought us to Himself, that He would allow us to call Him Abba. So yes, we would translate that as Father. It really isn't quite correct, but that's fine as long as we understand what it means. So when we call God Father, we're not just simply saying, oh, well, He's the creator of all things. He is, but that's not what we mean by that. We mean that we're in a relationship with Him. It means we're His own children. We're His sons and daughters because we have been made members of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. So the only way we can become sons and daughters of God is to be a member of the only Son of God. And that's exactly what happens when we're baptized. We are incorporated into the covenant, which makes us children of God. And if we're children of God because we're a member of Jesus Christ, that means we're children of our Blessed Lady as well, because she's the mother of Jesus Christ, and we are His members. So she is our spiritual mother. So we have in this world a mother and a father. But we have a spiritual father, and we have a spiritual mother. So as today we celebrate the maternity, the divine maternity of Mary, she is the mother of God, we have to remember also the spiritual maternity of Mary. She is our mother. And so we have that on the spiritual level. What a blessing for all of us. So what a great gift that God would humble Himself, because that's what He did. He is God from all eternity, and He humbled Himself to become one of us, to be born of a woman, just as all of us are born of a woman, to be able to live our human life, to take that on in order to save us. But that's again exactly what we hear. On the eighth day, He was given a name, Yeshua in Hebrew, Jesus. That means a savior. It's the purpose He came. But again, you recognize it was on that day that He was given a name. He was brought into the covenant. Your parents decided what your name was going to be whenever they made that decision, usually months before you were born. But you know when you actually received your name? On the day that you were baptized. That's when a name was actually given to you. That's when you became a son or a daughter of God. And so Jesus, on the moment that he entered into that covenant, that he was circumcised, he was given a name. That name tells us not only that he is truly human, that name also tells us why he came. He came to save us from our sins, to save our souls, to save our persons. So what a gift we have to be able to know this. For the Jewish people, all they could ever do way back when is to look forward to the day that the Messiah would come. But we have the Messiah. We know who he is. And now we need to recognize truly the gift. Because so much we just keep professing without really letting it sink in. So think about some of those things. That God took on human nature to himself, that we are incorporated into the second person of the Trinity because of his humanity, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we can call God Father, that we can say that Mary is the mother of God, but Mary is our mother as well spiritually. Ponder those things, let them sink in, and allow them to begin to really change the way we think of our own self and the relationship that we have with God. It doesn't have to be a formal, distant, stiff relationship, because that's not what he wants. He sent his son so that we could call him Daddy, that we could have that close kind of relationship. And the easiest way to be able to do this is to go through our mother. It is all there for us. So yeah, we can look at this and we can say, well, this is about Jesus and this is about Mary. Yeah, it's a glorious thing for our blessed Lord and a glorious thing for our blessed Lady. But it's about us. They did this for us, not for them. They did it for us. And so yes, we can glorify God for what he's done with our Blessed Lady and with our Blessed Lord. But we need to glorify him for what he has done for us, because all of this was for us. He became man so that we could be saved. He became what he was not so that we could become what we were not. He became the Son of Man so that we could become sons and daughters of God. He was born under the law to redeem those who are under the law so that we can have the freedom of the children of God. He came as the Savior so that our souls could be saved and we could live forever. So he came into time so that we could go into eternity. These are the ramifications of this. So it's one thing to keep it at an arm's distance and say, yeah, Mary's the mother of God. She is. What a beautiful thing. But the ramifications in us are tremendous. And that's what we need to let sink in so that we can begin to recognize how much God loves us, so that we can recognize the dignity that God has given to us, and that we can love God a little bit, at least along the way that he loves us, so that in the depth of that relationship with God, we can prepare ourselves to spend our eternity with him who loves us.